Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat. The mic should be working full class right now. I fixed it up last night. Okay, great. So today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Nun Vav. The last thing that we learned was the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi and Rebbe Yehuda about whether if you just add water to an ingredient that can be kneaded, is that considered to be a kneading? So Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says it is not. You'd only be chayav if you actually move your hands and do an act of kneading. So in the case of shasis, where we had the, we were talking about koli first, where you had dried flour, it wasn't dried, it was dried grain that you made flour out of, sort of like a sweetened, popped kind of grain. So he was matir doing that lechatchila, but only on condition that you do a shinui. What was the shinui that he referred to over there? There he talked about Echemishane. The last thing that we learned was that Rav Chista said, Al Yad, Al Yad, if you do just a little bit at a time, then that is considered to be sufficient shinui. Now we're going to see that there's different levels of things that we're talking about over here in terms of Lisha. So there's going to be a difference between Lisha, even according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, if it's Lisha of something that is called Belila Raka, which means that it's a loose mix, or Belila Ava, where he's much more makbid. And that's where we require just a little bit at a time. Whether it's blila for a human or whether it's blila for an animal, that doesn't require as much perfectly done blila. And there's different types of shinuyim. This is the first shinui that we saw, which is called the amount that you're making. There's also a shinui in how to make the mix, that is to say what ingredients to put in what order. And there's also a shinuyim in how to actually achieve the mixing effect, which we'll also see. So there's three different things that need to be taken into consideration in the actual psak halacha of all of these cases. These are cases, by the way, that come up very, very often, especially in terms of making baby food. We're going to be mixing like a powder kind of ingredient there too. It will depend on the order. It will depend on the thickness and depend on the amount. Okay, continues the Gemara today. Now this shatit, remember, was this drink that everybody used to drink then. You're allowed to use the shatit. We said before that we have, remember, different ingredients. Various chefs would give their ingredients, whether they used oats or whether they used the wheat. But whatever it was done with toasted grains. And they would mix it with water and with oil, and that Gemara and this Gemara we're going to see, apparently, that they used also vinegar sometimes instead of the oil. Anyway, this is a very popular drink in those days, and you would mix it with a spoon. And it says over here that even the Tanakama is made, that you're allowed to mix shatit on Shabbos, which is outrageous, because we said before, when it was koli, and shasis is the chora type of koli, we said that the Tanakama said it's usher. That was like Rebbe, who says you're not allowed to mix. So how in the world would that work out? That we're going to have to take a look at in a moment. And also, everybody seems to agree that even though Zeitum HaMitzri, we saw before, is a very popular kind of medicinal beer, but since people drink it for beer, it's like sort of like tea is nowadays. So many people will just drink tea. But most people nowadays drink tea when they're having a problem with a sore throat or a cold or something, right? But nonetheless, we don't osser drinking tea because, again, remember, the whole klal has been only something that is very clearly being done for medicine is ossered because of the drabbanan of the chashashas that we had of maybe making a medicinal mixture and so on. But this is not nicker, it's not borer, that it's for medicine, and therefore it's okay. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. How could you say that the Tanakhama says that you're allowed to mix the shasis? It said beferish a moment ago, ein govlin, that's made out of kali, and now, like, why all of a sudden did it become mutter? Lo, it depends, lokasha. What the Tanakhama was talking about originally was talking about a thick mixture of shasis. So as I said earlier, we need to first make a determination, human, animal. If human, and therefore there is a heter, is it a thick mixture or is it a thin mixture? So over here where we said that the Rabbanan, where the Tanakama was maskim, that you'd be allowed to mix shasis, that's talking about where it's a thin mixture, so it's watery. And that is much less similar to Lisha. It doesn't even look like Lisha. But even over there, where we're being mekel, it's only b'tnai that you're going to be mishana how you do it. Now here, we get into one of the other shinuyim. What would be the shinui? According to the Tanakhama, here on Rav Yosef, well, if during the week you generally would put in the vinegar, we didn't even know that they put in vinegar. We thought that they only put in oil, we said before. But if during the week you usually would put first in the vinegar, so then in this case, do the opposite. In Shabbos, first put in the shasis and then put in the vinegar. But this is true if it would be the other way around also. So we do it the other way around. Now, once Levi, who was Breder of Unabarchia, he walks in on Shabbos, and he finds that the guy that they hired in the family, the Gavla de Venashe, was his father's Gabel. Gabel is a mixer. He's the guy that mixes Lashon of Gibel, which is Lisha. So he was going ahead and go Gavla de Safi Leleture. He was kneading the food, which is bran, basically. He was mixing it with water, and he was giving it to his ox. And we said before that you're not supposed to do that. And he was obviously doing with a shinui, but nonetheless, Levi gave him a good kick in the rear, and Batashbe, what are you doing, man? Atavua, so his father, Vunabarchia, comes along and sees him beating up the Gabel. He says to him, hold on here, kiddo. I want you to know that your maternal grandfather said in the name of Rav, who was his maternal grandfather before he continued, Manu? That was Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba. Don't fool around with the Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba. And he said, you can actually be govel, but you're not allowed, like we said yesterday, you're not allowed to force in the food to fatten them up. That is what came out yesterday, to push it all the way down their throats so they wouldn't be able to get the food back up again. That you're not allowed to do. And not only that, the lo lakit belishne, if you've got a very young animal that cannot as yet use its own tongue to pick things up, lakit would be to pick it out of the field to be eaten. So then we use that lashon because of yesterday's lashon, mehal kitin. So then mehal kitin, you can even force feed it. Now, this doesn't really make much sense because we said before that if we're defining mehal kitin as putting it into the mouth, but it could still bring it back up, and that's where we ended up saying it yesterday. So what's the chiddush? You could do that even for an adult animal. So why are we saying if it's too young, then you could do mehal kitin? So some of the Rishonim say that since over here you're talking about a young animal specifically, we're over there the same mehal kitin that an adult animal would be well enough able to control its reflex to swallow, would be able to spit it up, the young animal may not. And therefore, for a young animal, you might think that mehal kitin would be similar to actually forcing it down to a place where it can't come back. Mashmalan, that we have one standard in how it is that we're allowed to feed. And even though the animal is young, if it's low lucky pelishne, it's still allowed to be done that way. But you can also go ahead and do that for the yain, but it would only be if you're doing it hani mili gemishani. And what would be the shinui in this case? Well, in this case, it would be the ofen, the modality in which you do the stirring, which we said was the third issue you need to take into consideration. And that would be shesiva erev. Shesiva erev means, so again, here there's a big machlokas. Most of the shonim hold shesiva erev means you can only put your mixing stick in once, up and down, and once side to side, which does not give you a very good mixture. Now, halacha l'maisa, where we need to do this for a human or for a human baby, and we're going to be mishana in the way in which we're doing the bechisha, we're still makbid on doing a shesiva erev, but we go according to the shittas that shesiva erev does not mean once. Shesiva erev means you can do it as often as necessary, except that each time you remove the spoon or whatever, you're supposed to use something unusual. So you take the stick that you were using, you would take it out of the mixture and then put it back in and once again do one time up and one time to the side and once again take it out and so on. So even though over here the Rishonim talk about where we're doing it only once, shesiva erev, that's because we're talking about an animal and it does not require that level of a perfectly good lisha in order to eat. We said it's a minimal of our akpad. Ask the Gemara, I mean, that doesn't work very well, does it? Aloma Arav Shapra, it's not gonna mix well like that. Omer of Yudah, well, you can always shake the container. If you shake the container, then that will make it just usable for the shor. Now, one of the things that we found written on Zairi's Pinkas. Remember that everybody had a little notebook so that even though it was usur to write down Torah Baal Peh in an ofen that would be usable for teaching to other people at that time, because there still wasn't the general heter that hadn't written down a Gemara yet. So because of that, people would keep their own notebooks. And on Zairi's notebook, we found that it was written that Amirat Kameda Rabbi, I said in front of my Rebbe, but wait a minute, I mean, I don't know what that means. Who is his Rebbe? Oh, his Rebbe was Rebbe Chia. Anyway, getting back to it. So what I said was to my Rebbe would be, what would be the din about Gibel? Over here he was referring, as we'll see, to a thick kind of Gibel. And is it mutter or not? So he says, no, there's no way to do that. There's no possible way to do that. Which would mean apparently that Rebbe Chia held of Rebbe, which was that it's usur to do any kind of gibel, even with a shinui. And what would be the din of lefarek? Would I be allowed to pour from one animal to another? Is the way that Rashi learns. Tosfos says that's crazy. How would he have asked that if we had a whole mishnah on that earlier, when we talked about the different kind of animals and what type of animal won't eat from another animal and so on? It doesn't make sense that he would be asking that to his Rebbe. So therefore, it must mean over here, you're allowed to pour from one container to another container, which makes the mixing better. Omarav, so he said on that, he said mutter. Omarav Menashia, there's also, I noticed nobody mentioned that, I mean, you've got to be careful how much you give, because that itself is a tircha that is unnecessary. So you should actually figure out what a standard portion would be to give to an animal. So to put one portion in front of one animal, two portions in front of two animals, and so on, fine, that's okay. So you're prorating the food. You're not going to too much tircha for any one animal. But once you would put down three portions in front of two animals, that itself is already too much, despite the fact that you are anyway doing multiple works for animals. Rabbi Yosef says you do not have to be medayek. You can give a lot, even a full kav, even two kav. Ula says it's not just that you can give a lot. You can put as much food as you want in front of animals. It doesn't have to be exactly what they're going to eat now or today, for that matter. You can even put a kur down. A kur is 30 kav. Yeah, I feel kuraim for that matter. Now, another thing that was written on a notebook, this was Levi's notebook, I said in front of my Rebbe, well, who was that? I mean, if you're going to be quoting notebooks, you're going to have to give us a little background over here. So, Manu, who was Levi's Rebbe? Oh, that was Rebbe Noah Kodesh. That was already a reference to Rebbe. Anyway, here's what it said. I'll have a goblin shatita bebavel. So I complained to him about the fact that people were going around in bavel and they were mixing the shatita, which, of course, Rebbe didn't like one bit. Because Rebbe was the one who argued with Rebbe Yehuda, and he was the one who was very makbid on the shatitas. Or Bechlal, I mean, he was talking about any type of gibel he was very makbid on. So, and Vavit Savach Rebbe, and Rebbe was screaming his head off at them. Who was screaming their head off? I mean, are you referring to the same person, Manu? Yeah, Rabbeinu HaKodesh. He was the one that was screaming his head off. Can I continue? Al-Dahavu Gavlin Shatita, the fact that they used to do all of that mixing of the shasis, nobody would listen to him. But less the Shmiele, nobody paid any attention. The problem was that this was in Bavel, and Rebbe was not the one that could give orders around in Bavel, because in Bavel, they had Paskin like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda was the one who was arguing with Rebbe Bechlal about Gibel. So whenever Rebbe would send any messages, so, yeah, that's his psak, we know, but that's a chumrah. We go according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda around these places. So it's like trying to get people to keep the Rabbeinu Tam when everybody's following the Gruch kind of thing, you know? And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi had this really weird Pinkas, in which he had all this type of superstitious things that were written down about the influence of the day of the week on your birth. So it was written down in this thing, if you're born on the first day of the week, so then you're going to be a person of one-sidedness, nothing else in. What do you mean nothing? I mean not one good thing in him? Is that what it means? It can't be. I mean, Rav Ashi was born on a Sunday, and he was a pretty good guy. So I can't say enough anything good about him. So, I myself was born on a Sunday. So maybe it means he doesn't even have one bad guy, one bad thing in him. That can't be, because Rav Ashi says that when I was born on Sunday, one of my friends, who was Dimi Bar Kokutsko, he was born on Sunday. And let me tell you, we had quite a school career together. I grew up to be a Roshiva, and he grew up to be the top mafioso, okay? So Hana Melech Havoy, and he was the Reish Ganovim. So, I mean, you can't possibly mean you're saying he's completely good. Well, he wasn't completely good, completely bad. I mean, I may not be great, but I don't think I'm completely bad. So therefore, what it must mean is that you're sort of a one-sided kind of guy, you know. Either you're going to be totally good or you're going to be totally bad. Maybe that's what he means. The reason for that would be, well, I mean, Or V'Choshech was originally created, and it wasn't Mishtamish Birvuvia, so it wasn't mixed. So because of that, if you were born on the day that Or V'Choshech were created, so you're either going to be Or V'Choshech. And if you were born on the second day of the week, oh, you know what happened on the second day of the week? That Kadosh Baruch Hu split the waters, and that was Machlokas. This is the kind of guy who's always going to get into arguments. Terrible. Ye Gevar Ragzan, he's going to be really an angry kind of fellow. My time in Bishum Defligu Beimaya. That was the day that the Kadosh Baruch Hu put the Rakia in the Shamayim. If he's born on a Yom Shlishi, well, on a Yom Shlishi, he's going to be really rich, but he's also going to be one heck of a promiscuous guy. Why? Well, that was the day that all the Asavim were made, right? So Asavim, I mean, they multiply very rapidly. Not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell them that they have to be careful about what species they hang around with, so they were sort of promiscuous, right? So because of that, this guy can be rich and grow very quickly, but also promiscuous. And if you were born on a Wednesday, so then you will be a shining kind of guy and very smart. And that's because that's the day where the sun and the moon rung up and so on. So everything will be very shiny with Torah. A guy that was born on a Thursday, he will be giving a lot of gemilas chasadim. Why is that? Because Thursday was the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the dagim and the ofot, and they have tremendous chasadim in that they are being given their food wherever there's food available for them all over. And if somebody who's born on Erev Shabbos, that's the kind of guy who's going to be like really running around to do things. To do what? To do mitzvahs. That's what you do on a Friday, don't you? I mean, you spend the whole day getting ready for Shabbos. Haiman de b'Shabbata, yay. A guy who was born on a Shabbos, he's going to die on a Shabbos. Because I mean, if they had to be Mechalal Shabbos for him to get him born, you don't think he deserves to die on Shabbos for being Mechalal Shabbos? Obviously, as the Mefreshim points out, we don't find any record of people borning on Shabbos being more likely to die on Shabbos. But so it means it's sort of like it would have been Roy. All of these things mean it would have been Roy. Not that we're talking about this serious. But this guy who was born on Shabbos will be called like the Shabbos is called, the Yom Kadosh. He will be called Kadisha Rabba Yidkari. They'll call him the great sage, the great holy guy. Omar Luhu Rabbi Hanina. So anyway, the guys in the yeshiva were reading this notebook of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So he said, will you please go out there? I don't know where the heck these people get these things are. They should take their notebooks with them, okay? What does it have to do with what day of the week you're born on? Lo mazel yom goreim. It doesn't matter. There's no mazel based on your day. It's the mazel of the sha'ah that's goreim. It must be the hour of your birth. So that is, of course, that's connected the various that we had before. Remember, we have the sun and the moon and the planets at that time. So we've talked about this throughout this Masechet, where we have the repetitive which we remember I went through with your church, how all over the earth, Sunday is named after the sun because of the Chama being the... Oh. So we had gone through the Seder of the various sun, moon, and the different planets that were known over there, which basically we only had Venus, Mercury, Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars at that time. But in any event, so that throughout the day, we had that repeating cycle. And therefore, if you were born in an hour that was under the name of Chama, so then you will be a Gvar Zivtan. Just like the sun is shining, you'll shine out. And just like the sun is the source of energy around these parts, so that's a independent. You don't need to come on to anybody else. So because of that, you will also be an independent kind of guy. And because of that, you will be Ochel Medilei V'Shos Medilei. Listen, you'll be eating out of your own pocket, drinking out of your own pocket, but Don't try to keep any secrets, because the sun just shines out. And let the sun shine in. And because of that, do not attempt to be a ganav, because if you're a ganav, everybody's going to find out about it if you're the sun, right? So that's a bad career for a sun man. So im ganav lo mitzlach, you will not be too successful because you'll keep getting caught by the cops. Haiman de bekorchav noga. Now, how about if you're born under Venus? Oh, Venus, as you know, is a pretty beautiful girl. So because of that, you may be very rich, but you will also be very promiscuous. Why is that? Because fire, basically, passion, comes from Venus. And if you were born in the hour where Mercury is around, oh, Mercury, very, very on the ball, let me tell you. Look at that orbit. Woohoo! So Yigvar Noyer V'chachim, that's going to be somebody who's going to be like really a beautiful person and wise person. Mercury is the one that hangs around the sun all the time. It's the closest planet to the sun. And you really got to keep your moving on when you're that close to the sun. Haiman Bilavana. How about if you're born under the moon? Yay. Tough life. The moon's really got it rough. Oh, getting bigger, getting smaller. Building, losing. This is a guy who's going to be suffering, let me tell you. Many sufferings. He's going to be building and then he'll be tearing down and building. He'll be dependent on other people, just like the moon. It's got to sit there, get all of its light from the sun. So you'll be dependent on others, drinking from other people's money. But you can keep a good secret if you're a moon. So maybe a ganav is a good career for you. So if you want to be a bank robber and you're under the moon, that may be the way to go. You'll be matzliach. How about if you were born under Saturn? So under Saturn, that's a lotion of Shavas, which of course is Saturday, Shabbos, Shabtai. And that's somebody who his machshavas will be batel, because on Shabbos, remember, everything is everything that you did is already done. Well, this is a guy, if he's born under Saturn, every plan that he's got in mind never works out. The best laid plan of Saturn's and mice. The Isti Amrei, others say, that no, it means just the opposite. It means anybody who tries to plan anything against him will be Shavat. That's the point, which Mashbit. And if you were born under Jupiter, you will be like a really stiff and straight, what do you call it, like a proper kind of person. Yehi Gevret Satkan. We say, proper in what? Satkan be mitzvot. He'll be very makpid on doing mitzvahs and giving tzedakah. And if you were born under the sign of Mars, oh, we know what Mars is, the god of war, then you will be a person who's red, like Mars. You're going to spill a lot of blood. Says Ravashi, well, spill a lot of blood. I mean, you know, you could be a doctor, or you could be a murderer, or you could be a sheikhet, or you could be a mayal. I mean, there's a lot of ways of spilling blood. Amar Rabba said, Rabba, well, I was born under Ma'adim. I never spilled any blood. Rabbi, like, heck, you didn't. Everybody knows that time in the second Megillah, you got up and you shechted Rabbi Zera. He doesn't say that openly, but he says, Marnami, Anish Vakatel. I mean, when you're makbet on people who don't do what you want, you kill them. Itmar. Rabbi Hanina says, look, I mean, these things they have some kind of impact on the world. I mean, the bottom line is that people are born with certain types of characteristics, and no matter what they do, the character always seems to come back, and there seems to be like a pattern in their lives. And those kind of things are not really, those are givens. Now, the question is, how do you live with your givens? You're not going to change yourself entirely from your natural character of, I don't know, if you're extrovert, introverted, or if you're the type of guy that was born with the kind of body that goes around and doing a lot of moving, you're going to be obviously impacted by that, the amount of intelligence. These are givens. And these givens are what we call mazel. And because of that, that means there's mazel that's machkim, that's mazel that's mashir. You're born into wealth, makes a difference. And yesh mazel Yisrael. When we talk about Yisrael, of course, we don't mean the nation of Yisrael. We mean the individuals of Yisrael. Everybody says that, of course, when we're dealing with Klal Yisrael as a whole, everything is completely dependent in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Avtochas and the various brises in the Torah. Rabbi Yochanan says, there's no such thing. There's no mazel. It doesn't mean that there aren't given things, but there are ways to deal. Shoo.
recording this round?
No, no. Oh, I thought you went dead. All of a sudden, the screen went off. Whew. I thought we were disconnected again. Sorry. So all of these things, they can be changed. And definitely, you're right. I forgot to thank you. But I was recording anyway the whole time on the MP3, so we'll have that. Bezrat Hashem. So because of that, you can change it. And it doesn't really mean that you can daven, your schus will make a difference, whatever. Your choices obviously make a difference. Also, Rabbi Yochanan time, eh? So Rabbi Yochanan holds Ein Mazal Yisrael. This is the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan used to say, Minayin she'ein mazal v'Yisrael. Shenema ko amar sham el derech aguyim. Here it says, beferish, the things that the goyim have to worry about, says Yirmiyahu, al tilmadu. Don't pay any attention to that. Me'otot ha'shamayim al techot. You have nothing to worry about. Looking up in the sky and seeing the things in the signs and the stars. Ki yechatu aguyim yehema. Those are things for the goyim. Heim yechatu v'lo Yisrael. So the goyim and only goyim, not Yisrael, will have to be concerned about these things. Va'af raf savar ein mazal b'Yisrael. The Omer of Yonam Arav. Minayin she'ein mazal Yisrael. Because that was the original meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avram Avinu, in which the whole beginning of Klal Yisrael begins with that incredible interaction, in which Shenemar vayotzeyoto achutza. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him outside. Which was that Amar, what was the story over there? Amar Avram lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam. I'm telling you that I'm going to be inherited by this guy over here who works for me. Ben Beiti Yoreshoti, Amar lo nonsense. Ki imet asher yetzei mimeecha. Amar lefanav, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is told by Avram Avinu. But I mean, please, I know for a fact, nistakalti b'tztagminut sheli, and astrologically, I am not roi to have a son. And because of this guy is definitely Eliezer. He's the one that's going to inherit me. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, vayotzei oto, meaning tzei mi'tztagminut shelcha. Get beyond that kind of nonsense. That's a low stage humanity. You are beyond this. And it took him out of the sky and showed him the solar system from underneath. Ein mazal Yisrael. Nothing to worry about. What's your worry? Explain to me. What? You believe that Jupiter, well, you were born under Tzedek, obviously, as we'll see in the Pasuk, right? So you're worried about the fact that that was in the western side of the sky and that's going to make you not have children. You think I got a problem with Jupiter? Hey, Jupiter, baby, move over to the east. What do you think of that? So now it's okay, all right? So I'll put it on the other side. Anyway, Hainu Dechtiv, Mi Heir Mimizrach Tzedek, who woke up Jupiter, that's Tzedek, literally, from the east? Now you were worried that it's in the west. Ha ha! So this is Yikro Laraglo. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who called Jupiter out because Avram was complaining about it. So this is Vayatzeyoto Achutza. If that's the beginning of Yisrael, you can be sure you got little to worry about a couple of big-sized planets like that. Eh. Take a baseball bat and move it over. Umid Shmuel Nami in Mazal Yisrael. A lot of shittas. Shmuel also holds that. The Shmuel. And this is actual Maisa Shoya. Shmuel. Remember Avlet, Shmuel's friend, the guy that he didn't want to know, wouldn't let him know that there's one day of the year that the sun is actually good for you. Anyway, so this was Shmuel's Goyesha friend, right? And they were sitting once together, and there comes some people that are walking along, and they're going into this pond, more like a swamp, an agma, and they were going to be cutting reeds for fuel and coming back and selling it. So Avlet says to Shmuel, I'm telling you, this guy is going back into that swamp. He ain't ever coming back again because he's going to be bitten by a snake and he's going to die there. Tarek lechiv yam amayit. Amar le Shmuel, I can tell you one thing. If he's Jewish, he's coming back. Anyway, while they're sitting there, the guy comes back. And he's walking along fine. Now, this, of course, this got Avlet very upset. Avlet ran over to him. And he says, wait a minute over here. He grabs the guy's backpack and takes off this big pile of reeds that were on his back. And sure enough, he finds right there on the package of reeds, he finds a snake that had been cut into pieces that the guy didn't even realize he had cut the snake into pieces, but he was cutting the reeds. And it happened to be he got the snake that was meant to kill him. And, says Shmuel to him, okay, so obviously you were meant to die with the snake, as Avlet has said, but since Ein Mazal B'Yisrael, you must have had a schus. What was your schus that you managed to kill the snake without even knowing it? Omar Lay, he said, I'll tell you what I could have done that would have made that difference. Every single day we go out as a group and we do our work. And what we do is we put the food into a pool where we all mix the food and we all eat from it. And today I saw that one of the guys was in bad shape. He didn't have any food. And, he would have been very embarrassed. So I noticed the Lo Havilei Rifte, and I could see him, that he was embarrassed. Havikom Echasev. So I told people, you know what? I'm going to get up and take care of it today. So Anakamina Varmina, when it got to him, I pretended to be taking things from him, but it was my own stuff that I took, so as not to embarrass him. And because of that, maybe that was discuss. Omar Lei Shmuel said to him, yep, you did a mitzvah of tzedakah. Nafak Shmuel v'dorash u'tzedakah tatzil mi maved. So he went and said over the pasuk from Mishlei that death charity saves from death itself, not from accidents. Lo mi mita mishuna, but mi mita atzma, because you were going to die today. Avlet had seen that, and that was part of like your history, was that you were meant to die today. Moshe and Dov, did you want to say something? Sorry, you're completely illegible. You've got to get a new mic. I mentioned this to you about a year ago. Anyway, another maisa is Rabbi Akiva's maisa. Rabbi Akiva Nami ain mazel li Yisrael, because he also, poor Rabbi Akiva, he has this daughter. I mean, like, you know, he was not a young guy, and he had this daughter. And these Kaldoi, these are Goyish astrologers, and they came over, they told Rabbi Akiva, you know, it was one of these really great fairy tale things, where on the day of her wedding, she will be bit by a snake and die. And so the evil apple was all ready for her. What exactly was poor Rabbi Akiva going to do about this story? So, I mean, he was always nervous about this, poor Rabbi Akiva, the Iga Milsa Tuva. And on the day of her wedding, she took off her machbanta. Machbanta is a pin, like a pin that you pin on, a brooch that you put on your blouse. And she takes it, sticks it into the wall to get dressed. And as she sticks it into the wall, it goes straight into the eye of a snake. And here she is on her wedding night. She has no idea that she did this to the snake. In the morning, she wanted to get dressed. She takes this brooch out, and there comes a snake that's attached to it and has dried. Its eye is dried over the back of the brooch. Ah! So anyway, so she shows her father. So her father tells her, what's close? Boy, that was close. What close did you have? So she says, well, I'll tell you, it was like everybody was really busy at the wedding, you know, and it's the afternoon. It was Bepanya, Atanya Karababa. So this poor guy comes and he's banging on the door. Everybody was so busy with the wedding meal. And Avitriti Kulayama Besudata, Lekadashmiya, nobody heard him. So I got up off of the wedding table. I took my own portion. I saw him standing at the door and I gave it and I brought it out to him. Omale mitzvah avadet. Amazing. Nafag Rabbi Akiva v'dorash u'tzedakah tatzil mimavet v'lo mimavet mishuna el mimita atzma. And same thing we could see from Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak, that ain't mazel Yisrael, because Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak's mommy was told by these astrologers when he was born, oh, your son is going to be a major ganav. Okay, so this didn't exactly make her feel too happy with her son. So she decided what she's going to do is she's going to have her little boy wear a kippah from the very beginning, and that should protect him and give him Yirat Shamayim. So she made this kippah for him, and because of that, she never allowed that kippah off his head. Lo shavakta gilui reisha. She wouldn't allow him to take it off for a minute. And she said to him, keep that head covered all the time, so that there will always be some sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence on you. And then pray, man, pray, because you may be on your way to jail. So we boy rachame. Wow, what a way for a boy to grow up, huh? Anyway, he never understood why in the world his mother was like so machpin on him. None of the other little boys in school needed to wear their yarmulkes 24 hours a day. So what in the world? Obviously, she didn't want to tell him what was going on. So anyway, one day he was sitting and he was underneath this palm tree and he was learning, you know, and he had been wearing like his talus over his head, but it fell off. And all of a sudden he was sitting there without a yarmulke. And like George Washington, he said, I cannot. No, that was a different story. This was a decal. And he looks up and he sees this beautiful bunch of dates up there on that decal. And he could not resist. Alma Yitzre, because his covering had fallen off of his head, his Yitzhara grabbed him. He starts running up the tree. He bites into that date cluster with his teeth. But did he eat it? No. Well, we don't know that he didn't eat it. But many of the Mefarshim say, note that it doesn't say that he actually was Nichshal in the end. This only came to show how close he got. So he bit it, but then he realized, oh my God, I almost ate it. And so he brought it to the owner and said, here is your cluster of dates, which was anyway meant to be picked, of course, such that Reb Nachman never ended up biting something that he should have done.
And they all lived happily ever after.
As long as he kept that yarmulke on. Don't forget that, Sir Richard. Now we understand. Why is the captain's hat always on? There we go. All right, Baruch Hashem. Wonderful. We should be zocha only to tzedakah tatzil mimavet and to know of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's care for us and forget about the otot ha-shamayim, Bezrat Hashem.